it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
All right, welcome in. Latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Braddon. I go by SEC Mike on Twitter. And that there is, of course, Cousin Shane, who goes by Big Orange Vowels on Twitter. What's up, yo, Tennessee Hober?
Hey, babe, what's going on?
Oh, man alive. We had us a draft. Hey, I see you're already in the comments. I don't know how you're here and you're in the comments, but I do appreciate it. But, man, the weather's outside's great. The SEC's dominating another NFL draft. I'm doing great, man. How are you?
Oh, man, it's awesome. I love it. I love it because, you know, you love your kids. You love them. That's what this is. We love college football. We love watching a team grow. But, you know, they got to move on. You got to let them go. You got to let them move out and hopefully land to a team that you love, not a team that you want to root against. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like more of my SEC loves, my fans, I guess you would say, is against Pittsburgh Steelers. So the draft didn't go quite as planned for my Steelers, but I am proud that all these kids got another shot or a shot here in the NFL.
How about this comment, Shane, right off the bat from Texas Couch Coach? Hey, SEC, Mike, you won't like this because you hate Texas, but the Longhorns had the most draft picks of any SEC team. So, hey, I actually got that written down. So we're going to get to that in just a second. Like I said, we're not going to spend a ton of time. We're not an NFL show or anything, but it is basically dominated by the SEC. So it's worth talking about a lot of these guys, Shane. And again, I want to plug anybody that missed it. We got we posted an interview Saturday night. Neil McCready, mm-hmm. Rebel Grove. Shane didn't wake up in time for this one. That's the only reason he wasn't on it. But
best interview so far.
Of all the interviews we did, I mean, it was a good one. So go check that out if you have it on the YouTube or just on your regular podcast feed. I know he just covers basically Ole Miss, but he does a show, kind of talks all SEC, but he's got some great stories, Shane, on Houston Nutt, Tommy Tuberville, of course, Lane Kiffin, some Nick Saban, and on and on and on. Guy's been covering the SEC for 20 some odd years. So I can't recommend that one enough to the audience.
Yeah, absolutely awesome. If you get a chance, jump over on YouTube, give it a like. That means a lot to us. And like I said, like Mike said, it's a fantastic listen. So if you get an opportunity, click over there and check it out.
And then two little news items, just real quick, Shane, because these are worth, I don't want to just completely overlook these, but before we get into the draft stuff, I don't know if you saw this, Shane, because, again, this kind of got buried with the draft stuff, but this was either late Thursday or Friday. I can't remember which. Auburn landed a huge commitment, Shane. Keandre Lambert-Smith, Penn State's leading receiver, he had 126 catches at Penn State, 1,721 receiving yards, and 11 touchdowns just receiving. And they beat out Texas A&M to get him. So, hey, any recruit, even if it's a transfer, it's a high school player, a JUCO, whatever the hell, if you beat it out at another SEC team, you got something to boast about. You know what?
Well, you know, when this came out, his short list, I saw Auburn, and then you saw Texas A&M. And in the back of your mind, you knew it. You knew they were probably going to go down to College Station. And so Auburn landing this kid, I think, was a huge get. And like you said, kind of got buried underneath the NFL draft. But does that change? Does that change any way you feel about this upcoming Auburn team? I mean, because you're talking about immediate impact this guy will have.
Right, right. Yeah, and clearly, Shane, I've been down on Auburn, so that maybe I got to be, you know, one player is not going to determine completely change me around, but you keep surrounding Peyton Thorne with weapons. I mean, it's better and better, especially on the outside, because that's where they need the help the most. So adding freshmen's nice, even a touted five-star Cam Coleman, who they're saying the next Megatron, the next this. I hope he is. But I buy more into a guy like this that has over 1,700 yards, 11 touchdowns at the Power Five that could come in. And I'm not saying he's a better player than Cam Coleman, but I'm saying immediate impact. I think he'll have a bigger impact perhaps than even Cam Coleman. So, yeah, I think this is a huge pickup. And like I said, the fact that A&M and A&M needs weapons too, the fact that they wanted them, and anytime a Texas or Texas A&M, they lose out on a transfer, man, the other school NIL is humming. Let me just put it that way.
You know, I love it. I love it, man. I mean, just a little stab on the way in. You know what I'm saying?
And then one more. Again, I don't even think it's going to impact the upcoming season, Shane, but it's hilarious, and it's just the saga of this guy never seems to end. But, of course, I'm talking about Jaden Rashada, the quarterback, coming in from Arizona State. He played a little bit there as a true freshman. Now he's headed to Georgia, Shane. And why is that even remotely interesting? Of course, because they have Carson Beck. He's not going to factor in. I don't even think he'll be the backup, Shane, because they got Carson Beck. Gunnar Stockton behind Carson Beck. But why this is noteworthy, of course, Jaden Rashada was the player that was going to be Florida savior, $13.5 million NIL, which has been verified. Some reason, and this guy's not even a five-star, Shane, when he's coming out of high school. For some reason, they offered him that. They never paid him, and we all know the backstory there. But it's just hilarious to me that he's back in the SEC. And, oh, yeah, he's at the chief rival of the Florida Gators down here in Athens. You know what?
Absolutely. Oh, man. Well, I'm glad he's in the SEC. You know what I'm saying? Because we would constantly be comparing. We'd be saying the what-ifs if he wasn't in this conference. So I'm glad he is over here. But I think it's good for Rashada, because if he was somewhere else, he would be expected to be an immediate impact. He doesn't have to do that with Georgia. You know, and I think sometimes a kid like that that's been in the spotlight, that's been told his entire life he's the best, this is a good spot for him to be in to kind of build himself up so he has a real good shot to take over the reins one day for Georgia Bulldogs.
Right, and that's the thing, Shane. I've been asked it repeatedly. You know, why would Georgia even do this? Apparently, Kirby, he loves to have four scholarship quarterbacks on roster, but just – the way they run their program down there, Shane, I mean, they are not scared if you want to transfer out. There's never been a transfer that's decimated Georgia leaving the program. You know what I mean? Like, competition's at an all-time high. You come here, you compete, you're going to win. You're going to win big. You're going to factor into the national championship every year as long as Kirby's there. And why are they bringing this guy in? Again, it's not to unseat Carson Beck. There's no shot in hell that happens. But it's what you're saying. Next year, I based on everything I know, Shane, I think Gunnar Stockton is going to be a really good quarterback. But we can sit here and we can talk about it for the next year. It doesn't mean anything until he actually has to do it. And now that he's got another guy that has to compete with him in a Jaden Rashada, let him battle it out. And if you're afraid to compete, then Georgia is not for you. And hell, I don't think any of these SEC programs, if you're afraid to compete as a quarterback, as a leader of the team, then you are not cut out for this. So I love the fact that this is their mindset. And again, if it drives someone away, then this probably wasn't for them anyway.
Well, and kudos to Rashada. I mean, just the fact that he's going to Georgia. He could have went somewhere and started immediately, but decided to go down here. And I guarantee it's not for the NIL money, even though you know he's going to be getting a little bit. It ain't no $13 million.
Right. All right, Shane, so, hey, this again, we're trying to do draft here, so that's all the SEC-specific news I got here, but let's kick it over to the draft real quick. And I guess I should have been a little bit more prepared, Shane, but I do know that the SEC led the way, once again, 59 picks, and to my knowledge, this doesn't even count Texas and Oklahoma. So the SEC leads the way again, 18th. Consecutive season, Shane, that the SEC led the way with most picks. They had 11 first-rounders, more than anybody. Mm-hmm. Of course. Come on, man. Come on. Nick Saban finishes his career with 52 first-round picks. My word. Shane, there's programs that don't have that many. Nick Saban's done it. We got more on Nick Saban in a minute. How about Kirby, Shane? He's got more first-round picks at Georgia, 17. Then he's got losses at Georgia. Only 16
oh losses. What a stat.
That's insane. And, yeah, so here's the total rundown. And for this, we are including Texas and Oklahoma. Shout out to the couch coach here. Texas led the way, Shane. More than 80 SEC programs. This is phenomenal. The Longhorns, they're just going to come in and dominate us losers in the SEC. Texas, 11 draft picks. No one touches it, Shane. Credit to Sarkin Company. Bama, 10. Georgia, 8. LSU and Mizzou each had 6. Auburn had 5. Kentucky, South Carolina, and A&M all had 4 each. Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Oklahoma, and Tennessee all had 3. All Tennessee's best players came back, Shane. Arkansas, 2. Florida, 1. And wouldn't you know it, Vandy? Come on, Vandy. 0 for Vandy. I hate it for him. You know what?
Oh, we're so close. If they would have just stayed on campus, you know, maybe we would have had one. But hey, this was a big. It's just a big showing for SEC, just like it always is. And that just shows you the talent that we have in this conference when we prove it. You know, with and you're going to see it. Last year was a one off, in my opinion, for the college champ. But I think moving forward, you're going to start seeing it with more college football teams in the playoffs, and you're going to keep seeing it with these draft picks. So phenomenal.
Right. And again, Florida only had one shade, but he was a first rounder, Ricky Pearsall. That was a big surprise, I thought, to the San Francisco 49ers. Figured, you know, we all knew he was a good player. I figured he'd go relatively high. I had no idea he'd go in the first round. But how about this, Shane? This is phenomenal because at one point, Mizzou had his – There was Bama, there was Georgia, and there was LSU. And this is going into day three, and Mizzou was the next best for most draft picks. And people were jumping on me because I was kind of touting that. And they said, well, by God, you keep talking up Missouri. How in the hell are they going to duplicate all this with all these guys going to the NFL? Well, Shane, Missouri ranks 3rd in the SEC in returning production. We talked about that previously. And they have a top 10 transfer class incoming. So that's pretty remarkable. But I think even more remarkable, Shane, again, let's crown Texas. Led all SEC programs, 11 draft picks. How about this, Shane? Number 2 in the SEC in returning production is Texas. Now, I believe this does count transfers, which is kind of silly, I think, that they do that. But you get to utilize those guys. So again, these are Bill Connolly's returning production from over at ESPN. It's not me doing it. I don't have the math skills to do all this mumbo jumbo. But how crazy is it, Shane, that Texas just had 11 picks, their second highest in the entire SEC and top 25 nationally in returning production, and Mizzou right there nipping at their heels. So this is why people are hyping up Texas and why we've been hyping up Missouri so much, because of the returning production.
Boy, Mike, you're kissing a lot of Texas ass today. Did you get caught up in something on Twitter? Hey, I will say this, because when you look at stats like this, if it were 6 years ago even, Mike, and I showed you all those draft picks from Mizzou, you would say, yeah, 3 years, maybe they get it back. You know what I'm saying? It feels like that was a class once in a lifetime. But like you pointed out, it's they have been building competitive depth for years now. And what they brought in through the transfer portal, that's what's encouraging to me, because my first stop is like, well, damn, if all those guys went to the NFL, they may not be as good. But then you look at what's returning, like you said, the 3rd in the SEC, they're deep, brother, and they're going to be here for a while,
right? And I feel like I know NIL has helped Mizzou tremendously, but I think you also got to prove that you can get these guys to the next level.
Yeah,
and doing that is, you know, a lot of people are going to factor in NIL, what you can give them immediately, but the reason Alabama, Georgia, so dominant year after year after year, well, they paid touche. But big reason is because Kirby and Nick can sell.
Yeah,
you know, we'll get you to the end. Maybe even you take less, take a pay cut today to get you riches in the future. I don't think they can sell that with Kayla DeBoer anymore. Sorry, Alabama. But Kirby can still sell that, and it still works. But I just – that's the next evolution in your program, though, is getting guys to the NFL. And we're seeing Drake do that.
Yeah. Well, you're seeing a lot more teams do that, brother. I mean, you go in the 80s, there's years that some of these schools never put anyone in the NFL. And now you're saying all but Vanderbilt did. So, I mean, that's encouraging from a conference strong point.
And does it surprise you at all, any of these other numbers? Again, Texas led the way 11, Bama 10, Georgia 8. I don't think there's any surprise. I think quite frankly, Texas having the most surprised me. Mm-hmm. But I figured they'd have a high number, so none of those truly jump out to me. What about Auburn, though, with five? That was a surprise to me.
Yeah, and part of me likes it and part of me hates it, because if you're an Auburn fan, you're like, damn, how do we have five guys going to NFL draft and this is what production we put on the field last year? You know, that's my only thing. But again, it's important because now you're seeing a kid from Penn State come down here and join your university, because why? Hugh Freeze can put him in the NFL draft. So I think, you know, there's ups and downs, but I think there's more pros to putting people in the NFL than cons.
Right. And I should say, I mean, I'm not trying to diminish any of these guys, Shane, but Auburn did not have anyone other than fifth, sixth, and seventh rounders. So again,
yeah, but
hey, they got taken. So I'm just saying, you know, no, maybe high end type, but another one that surprised me right after that, Shane, South Carolina with four, mm-hmm. Including first rounder Xavier Leggett, who Shane found a clip of him. We got to play this clip here, but let's play this clip first. This is Xavier Leggett. Right after getting drafted, stay at home, go play in Carolina.
Say it one more time.
So you woke up a Carolina Panther this morning. Did you have to pinch yourself a little bit?
Oh, no, man. I woke up ready, man. I got a call right after I got drafted. They was coming to pick me up at 9:30 in the morning. I told him I'm going to be ready.
He's ready, Shade. I mean, he is ready.
Xavier, why was he not at Media Days, man? We would have done a four-hour interview over here. I could listen to Get talk all day long, brother.
Well, I'll tell you why, Shane. I don't have the stats pulled up in front of me, but, you know, he was at South Carolina, I think, 5 years.
Yeah.
Last year, you could combine the rest of his 4 years, put them together, didn't match what he did this year. So I don't think they had, again, I'm sure they were high on him or not. Calling out, you know, their staff or anything, but I don't think anybody would have imagined Leggett was going to be a first rounder heading into the season. You know, I think all the talk was Juice Wills.
Yeah, it was.
Well, us included. So, man, just a skyrocket of a season there for Leggett.
No, it's huge, and he's going to Carolina. I'm looking there. They got Clowney, they got Horn, you know. I'm sure there's a lot of South Carolina fans already, diehard, you know, Carolina fans, but. But, yeah, I like a lot of those boys staying home, you know. It just seems to – I don't know. There's things that they'll be able to work in the future with that. And a lot of SEC went to Carolina in this draft.
Yeah. And how about – this one surprised me, too, considering how good Ole Miss has been. But, again, maybe this speaks to bringing back a lot of talent for the upcoming season, Shane. Only three players mm-hmm. drafted off Ole Miss, Sed Johnson, Anthony, and Prince there. Again, none of these guys, first four rounders, fifth, sixth, and seventh rounders. So any thoughts on that? Just that Ole Miss only had three, considering, I believe if you look back at the last, like, is it 3 years, that I think the only SEC teams with more wins than Ole Miss is Georgia and Alabama. I mean, Ole Miss is killing it, but again, not a lot of draft picks. But I think that's because vast majority of guys are coming back.
I think you hit it right there. There's a lot of NFL draft picks on that team. It's just most of them came back for another season. This is why they've dubbed it the Last Dance. It wasn't just because of the kids they got in the portal. I'm telling you, it's a lot to do with the roster that stayed behind and said, "Hey, let's make a run at this thing."
Right, and then Tennessee only had three, too. Joe Milton, Jalen Wright,
yeah.
Mal Haddon. Were you surprised at all by that? And especially Jalen Wright fell to the fourth round. But, man, he gave a shout-out after he did. Remember that?
He's hungry. He's hungry, man. They done messed up, you know. I liked Milton. One of the things I'd like to point out there, now that he's at the New England Patriots, obviously not the first quarterback drafted, they took Drake there, but you know, Tom Brady was a six rounder. I looked it up, man. Tom Brady was 199 and Joe Milton was 193. I'm not saying they're the same, but you know, who knows?
How about this, though? I want to play. Hopefully, this doesn't get us ripped down from YouTube or anything. If it does, I may have to remove it, Shane. But NFL Network, Ian Rappaport, you know. Spencer Rattler fell, to the fifth round. And what the hell's up with that? There was some talk he may, you know, go all the way in the second round, what have you. This is kind of unbelievable to me. Let's play, again, this clip from Ian Rappaport.
bring you in, Ian Rappaport. What's your two cents here?
Rich, that is some of the issue. The ceiling for Spencer Rattler, teams really wondered, can this guy be a long-time or even short-time starter? Is he going to be a career backup? I want to go through some of the teams that did work and visited with him who might have a needed backup quarterback. Texans, Seahawks, Colts, of course, have Flacco. Giants did not end up taking a quarterback. The Raiders, of course, did not. The Packers as well. But I want to mention something in addition to this. And this is kind of weird to say, honestly. Spencer Rattler did a reality show in high school. It's called QB1 Beyond the Lights. It did not make him look great. And it is unbelievable how many different teams mentioned to me the image of him in that show and how they can't get it out of their heads, which I think would be a public service announcement to all 17-year-olds. But it is fascinating.
Shane, we're still dragging a man for what he did when he was 17. I haven't watched QB1. Maybe it's off. As long as he didn't kill anybody, I don't understand what the hell is the problem here.
Well, I mean, he was a little bit of an asshole in that video. I understand where they're coming from, and I mean, because you're talking about putting a lot of money, a pick that could set you back. You never know on.
Right.
You're putting a lot of stock in a kid, especially at quarterback, and I understand it to a certain extent, but you know, we've talked to him since then, and I think some of the decisions he's made, especially there in Columbia, has shown him more to be a team player than an individual. Because if you watch him, he was an eye man in high school. He was that guy. He was a diva. But I felt talking to Spencer, you know, even at media days, it felt like he wanted to talk more about his teammates than himself. I guarantee that has changed. You know what I'm saying? So, right. To say that you can't, I mean, damn, Mike, if they had cameras when I was 17-year-old, buddy, we'd be in trouble. You know what I'm saying? I showed my daughter. I have a 15-year-old daughter. I showed her this video. She doesn't care about football. She doesn't watch. But I wanted to point out that, hey, what you put out there is out there forever. You know what I'm saying? You can't reel it back. So I hate it for Spencer, but they could use this as a tool for future kids that are thinking about just jumping on social media and saying whatever, that there's consequences for your words. You know what? Spencer's in a good spot. He's down there at the Saints. He's not going to be asked to do anything immediately, but he's got a chip on his shoulder, and you know how he is. He was like this in South Carolina. I think they got a hell of a quarterback down there in New Orleans, and this is a kid that I think is going to prove people wrong.
Right. And, I mean, hell, we weren't there, Shane. Who knows how they creatively edited those things together? I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But I think that's foolish. But the fact that they're bringing it up, and this was an issue even, I remember when he got to South Carolina, they were asking Shane Beamer about it, and he kind of went off about the same thing you just basically said is, thank God they didn't have cameras around us when we were 17 years old. You know what?
It's true, man. It's a damn truth.
But, hey, you know I'm a Green Bay fan. I'm not a big NFL guy these days, but I do like Green Bay. How about this? I just want to shout out because, I was over the moon right here, Shane. Round two and round three, every Green Bay pick. Linebacker Edge Cooper from Texas A&M. He's the first inside linebacker in the draft taken. Georgia safety Javon Bullard. Running back Marshawn Lloyd. I count him as South Carolina still. And then linebacker Tyron Hopper, Mizzou. You literally could not do any more for an SEC guy if you're a Green Bay fan and scooping up all these SEC players.
Well, you know me. I've always been a Lloyd fan. I love Hopper. I think he's got the motor. I loved your picks better than ours. I will say that. But let me ask you on that note, because there are – I saw a few of them congratulating Marshawn Lloyd. He was a dude in South Carolina, a lot of support, a lot of love. There was reasons he left. What's your thoughts on – claiming him as your dude? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean we could go not just with him,
Bo
but like
Nix.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was gonna say, Shane. Bo Nix. I mean, there's so many different guys.
I saw Lane. He retweeted John Rhys Plumlee. You know, it's
right?
Like,
exactly. So I don't know. I think you could claim him if you want. I got no problem with that. But also, I know how fans are, Shane. You leave our program, you're dead to me. Never want to hear your name again. I get that too. So I think it's just kind of to each their own. But certainly, you know, each case is individual. But I guarantee you Bo Nix would not have been a first-round pick had he stayed at Auburn. And maybe even if Gus Malzahn was still the coach and Bo Nix was still there, I think he would have stayed. But I don't think he would have been a first-round pick. So, I mean, he certainly – I credit Oregon more for that one specifically.
Well, and, again, maybe Lloyd wouldn't have been drafted so high or Plumlee. I mentioned him. He may not even have gotten picked up. So I think, you know, sometimes going to a different school is a good thing. But I love these cats that come out and just say, hey, I was behind you the whole time. And if you dig their tweets, you know, it's like, I can't believe this bastard's just chasing money, you know.
But I think, Shay, the real star of the NFL draft, and shout out you for bringing this to my attention, because I knew he was going to be working it. I kind of forgot all about it, Shane. And it is full transparency. This is what happened. I turned on ABC, and, you know, during the draft, it's not always just the guys sitting there talking. They're showing highlights. They're showing players, this, that, the other. I heard Desmond Howard, and I said, nope, change the channel. So I missed a lot of Nick Saban, but this was probably his best clip of many clips that he had.
Because you can teach a guy how to swing a baseball bat. You can teach him what the strike zone is. But you can't teach him whether it's a good pitch to hit when it leaves the pitcher's hand and gets the home plate. There's some kind of athletic intuition that comes in that. Just like if you're playing defensive back. Do you go and intercept the ball? Do you swat and hook the guy? Do you break down and tackle him? You can teach him how to do all those things, but you can't really teach him when to do it, right? Because it happens so fast. So that's where the instincts and athletic intuition come in to separate players. What makes a great hitter in baseball versus an average hitter? It's athletic intuition. It's being able to eye-hand coordinate and know the timing of how you got to do things. And when we keep talking about guys who are instinctive, they're making the right decisions at the right time to make the plays.
I would say this. I love those guys, all four of them. I do. But there's
all four? No, I'm just kidding.
There's one. Well, there's one in particular, though, that – I mean, did you see – I'm watching Saban. I've seen this clip a couple times, but the other ones are they're just enamored by the knowledge that is coming from Nick Saban. So I love the fact that he's doing media. I think the draft coverage was fantastic. I think the memes that are coming out of this are even better. Nick Saban in media is exactly what we needed now that he's left Alabama.
Right, but we do got to bring this to attention too, Shane. Let me find the clip again. I don't have the clip.
Is this about memes?
No, well, that was a bad one too. This is first round cornerback Toledo, Quentin Mitchell, who went to Philadelphia Eagles, first round. Here's what Saban said on air. He was our number one guy in the portal last year to try to get him to come out and go into the portal, obviously, and he would never get in. So, live on television, Nick Saban saying we tampered to get this man. Oh, appreciate you, Cousin Jared. $5 donation. Appreciate you.
Yeah, cuz. Thank you.
But again, you can't be contacting these guys. You can't be getting them to get in the portal. But that was Saban old man moment, I think. Like, you can't get me anymore because I'm not with Alabama. Uh-huh. But I thought that was pretty funny. But I should also say, Shane, I get it. Everything you said is correct. He was fantastic. He was a highlight of the draft if you watched it on ABC and all that. But I do think it's a little telling to me of, again, his knowledge, greatest coach of all time. We could praise him for days on end. But the way he treated the media, in particular the local media, and now he's in the media – I think that says something about his character. I really do. Where, you know, he's basically scaring these guys to death. He never did a press conference to end his time there. He never at media days at the end. He just said to hell with all those media guys. He shat on the media except when he needed them. When big national guys, he would give them the time of day, but not the little guys. And most coaches are not like that. So, it's a little disingenuous to be in the media while you were so disrespectful to the media that needed you back then, you know?
Yep. Now I hate him again. I hate him. You're right. He hasn't asked to be on that SEC podcast yet. You know, he's out here trying to get little Debbie's for free. I've been trying that for 6 years, Mike. You know, and I guarantee you, he got a Brinks truck of oatmeal cream pies, even though they're based out of Tennessee. This week, I imagine.
Yeah. Hunter says he didn't like the media guys putting him down. He stood up for his team. He stood up for him without talking to him at media days and giving them quotes.
That's what drove me nuts. At media days, did not even come to the floor. He had two guys, Pate, which I love. I think that may have been it. He may have just done Josh Payton and Paul Feinbaum, and then he left.
And just some disclosure, again, we love Josh Pate. He's been on the show. He's awesome. He's the best out there. They had to do that, Shay, because they're the CBS deal.
Yeah.
And it's not like Saban doing that out of the kindness of his heart. There's a reason all those damn coaches went, because it was part of the CBS contract. So that was part of it, too.
Saban.
To hell with him.
Yeah.
We also had a Jalen Milroe that Shade loved this clip. Let's kick it over. Jalen Milroe, who was at the draft. I don't know what he was doing at the draft, Shade. I guess just supporting his guys. But maybe he just wanted to check it out because he knew he's going to be there pretty soon.
Best laugh.
All right, quick shout out to Nick Saban. He can hear you right now.
Hey, coach, how you doing?
Yeah, so that was great too. But yeah, I actually did like the fact that, again, because I'm not a big NFL guy, and it's not like I hate the NFL or anything like that. I'm just so consumed with college football. I do love the fact now that there's that ABC option where they kind of focus more on the college aspect and things like that. I only wish, and maybe it's in the contract they can't do this, Shane. I wish SEC Network would do it so that it would just be solely SEC focused. That would be my favorite. You know?
Hey, you may be onto something there. You know, now that they got the rights, what's it start July? You know, who knows? Maybe we see a little SEC draft table.
Right, and then Shane had one more clip here. I honestly, Shane, I don't even know what this is, but you said play it.
What is it? Wait, what?
it's a guy on a phone call calling somebody, telling him he's getting picked.
Oh, yeah, McConkey.
Okay, I didn't know who it was. Let's kick it over to him.
Hey, let's do it. Let's make it happen. Thank you.
Hey,
I got a crew here with me. Thank you.
Oh, here, man. They're celebrating. I love it.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all so much. Let's do it. Let's make it happen.
We're gonna do it. I'm gonna pass the phone to Coach Harbaugh, and we're gonna turn the card in. And you're a Los Angeles Charger, right, brother?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, man. Well, congratulations. Here's Coach Harbaugh.
Thank you.
Hey, lad. It's Coach Harbaugh.
What's up, Coach? How are you?
Boom. Hey, I'm so
much
better than us.
Yes, sir. No one. Hey, you came and got a Georgia player.
Yes, we did. Tell your mom and dad it was great to meet them at breakfast in Indianapolis.
Yes, sir. Yeah, they told me they met you, so it's awesome. This is awesome. Thank y'all.
They're nice. They're great people. Here's John Spanos. He wanted to say hello.
How awesome is that? I mean, you know, that's what I'm saying. The kids probably been doubted his entire life. He's not good enough to do this. He's not good enough to play college. He's not good enough to get in the NFL. And I'm telling you what, man, I think he's going to fit perfect up there. And he's going to be a damn beast. You know, they're going to have him in so many different spots up there.
Because as John says, Harbaugh going to cheat his ass off in the NFL.
Absolutely.
And, every time, I've told this story many times, Shay, but shout out our guy Rusty Mansell over there at Dogs HQ. I remember first season for Ladd McConkey, it was, they were playing Georgia in the opener, and McConkey was like a three-star. It's not like he was like some five-star or anything. And I just remember I don't even think I was asking. I think I just listened to his show, and he said, "Here's a guy you need to keep an eye on, difference maker." And he showed out immediately. He said, "Ladd McConkey, watch his kid. He's a player." And a couple years later, NFL draft pick. So again, never doubt Rusty Manziel when it comes to Georgia Bulldogs. He's the godfather of UGA.
Oh, buddy, he is dialed in. He is. And I just love these type of stories, and this is a good kid that's done a lot for the fans as well. He is going to be such a great ambassador for that university. And I think that's one of my favorite parts is when these kids go on to the NFL, you know, they all get their packages sent in from Georgia or Tennessee or Alabama or where they're ever at. But you talk about a kid that's just constantly recruiting for his university. They got one with Ladd. He'll forever be a dog.
Right. All right, Shane, so that's about all the NFL talk I can handle. I don't have any more notes or anything like that. You got anything else before we wrap up this quick pod here?
No, again, it was awesome to watch the draft, watch your kids go to the next level. There's so many got picked there, and I expect these numbers to grow even more in the future. So I'm pumped up, brother. If you guys haven't done it yet, please close the comments, hit that like button. That'd mean the world to us. And check out some of them other interviews we got up there on YouTube.
Right, and more coming, and more hopefully going to be filmed before long. All off season long. We ain't going anywhere, Shane, and we got a really, really good idea for the next show.
Yeah.
So stay tuned for that. But we do appreciate you, buddy. Appreciate each and every one of you for hanging out. We'll catch you on.
All right, see you guys. Go Vols.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the Pirate, and the Pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.